22 and 30 through 33. Okay. Are you ready, church?
Amen.
You ready?
Amen.
All right, loud and clear, one voice. Begin. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and it came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and called him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready to be blessed today?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Ask the person next to you. Are you ready to be blessed today?
Are you ready to be blessed?
Is your heart open? Tell them, is your heart open?
Are you ready?
Is your spirit open? Is your spirit open?
Is your mouth open?
Amen. Say amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As we communicate, the preacher and, you know, the church, we both will be blessed as we share these scriptures together. Amen. Okay, the first point I'd like to mention is that life is filled with the storms. Life is filled with the storms. There's no one who is here who is exempted by the storm. The storms in life. No one is exempted from storms. Each one of us here has some kind of storms in life. And guess what? That means we're alive. Hallelujah. That person does not have any storms. Praise God that you're alive.
Amen.
Amen. And someone can say, it's not unfair for me of this kind of storm. No. Everyone has some kind of storm. Everyone has. Don't say the storm you are going through is higher or bigger. Let's think about some of the storms the heroes in the Bible went through. Abraham. What kind of storm he went through? One day God called him out of nowhere. Say, "Leave your country. Leave your household. Leave your father." And he became a wanderer in the nowhere. God told him to leave, but God didn't tell him where to go. Think about it. It's not easy. How about Isaac? When he was young, the father come to him and they say, "Oh, son, let's go to the mountain." And then Abraham wanted to tie him with the rope, right? Tie his hand and put him on the table, right? And get ready with the log, with the fire, and then he's about to slaughter. And Bible did not mention about Isaac resisting his father, meaning that he was meek. He was receiving what father is trying to do. How about life of Jacob? How about Jacob? His life was also tough. Entire life he was chased by his brother Esau, right?
Yeah.
And his uncle Laban, you know, treated him unfairly. All his life he was chased. How about Joseph? He was sold by his brothers. And he was accused of wrong things in the house of Potiphar, right? And then he went to the prison. How about life of Job? wonderful? It's terrible. But one day his entire family, his children all died. And all of his possessions went away. You say, how about David? Isn't he was a man after God's own heart and he had a wonderful life? No, his life was one of the toughest ones. David. He ended up murdering a person. He ended up commit adultery. And his son Absalom was against him. Tried to took over his kingship. So his son rebelled against him. Now that hurts, isn't it? If you love your lovely son rebel against you, that will hurt you, isn't it? How about Solomon? Huh? He was known as a man of wisdom, and he got all the possessions of the world. He got thousands of wives and concubines. What do you think? Is that heaven or hell? Huh?
Yeah.
We cannot even take care of one wife. Even one wife is not easy to take care of. Right? But he has a thousand wives and concubines. That's terrible. But no wonder why at the end of his life he says, oh, what did he say? Meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. He had all his possessions. He was known for a well-known king and prestige and position. At the end of his life, he said, meaningless. You name it. You name all those heroes in the Bible. They had many storms. How about you, my brother? What kind of storm are you going through? Perhaps. Praise God that Jesus Christ is above the storm. And you too can learn to walk on the water. Walk above the storm, not below the storm. You and I, through today's scriptures, we're going to learn how to walk above the storm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You and I, we are living in the world, but not of the world. We are of Jesus Christ. And we have authority and power to walk on the water. The water here in the Bible stands for the world. Okay, water. The water stands for death. There is shadow of death, fear, anxiety, worry, anger, all those are a shadow of death. And that's what the sea represents. Okay? Alright, now we're going to go through some scriptures now. Verse 27. Can we read that together now? Ready? Begin. 27. Part 2. Okay. Take courage. It is I.
Don't be afraid.
It is I, don't be afraid. Okay, now you know the story. Now Jesus and disciples, right? They were on the hill, and Jesus let them, the disciples, go ahead with the boat. And he went up to the mountain, and he prayed until it was dark. Now, when they were in the disciples were in the boat was in the far distance from the land, okay? And there was a storm. And Jesus Christ was walking on the storm. And then when they saw Jesus, they thought he was a ghost. So they were very scared. Oh, it's a ghost! But Jesus said, it is I. Don't be afraid. Now, Jesus and the disciples that had that intimacy. Therefore, disciples knew the voice of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now there was a storm, so they were not able to see Jesus Christ clearly. But they heard the Master's voice. It is I. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. If Jesus were to appear here or somewhere, and if he were to say to you, it is I. Don't be afraid. Can you recognize his voice? I pray that you will. I pray that you have that intimacy with Jesus Christ and you recognize his voice. Amen.
Amen.
And he says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Now what makes us afraid? Perhaps Satan always wants to attack us with giving us fear. Now fear is one of the greatest enemies in our life, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
What makes you fear? Well, your health factor can be fearful, right? You worry about your health, or money, or relationship, or your future. Whatever makes you fearful, I tell you now, Jesus says, don't be afraid, because it is I. I am with you, I am in you, and you don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the sea, there are so many things that make us fearful. Perhaps I don't like water. I don't like swimming. I don't like to play with water. In the summertime, my wife always begged me, honey, let's go to the beach and do some swimming and what do you call that? Go under the sea.
Scuba diving.
She enjoys it and she loves to play with water. Rachel and first son, Joshua, loves to play with water. Me and my second son, Joseph, we hate water. Every time we go to beach, we don't like it. I guess because in my young life, when I was a teenager, I had few accidents where I almost died. I got drowned and I was, floating with the water. So there was a swimming pool in the States, right? Swimming pool. And when I was a teenager, I didn't know how to swim. But there's a swimming pool and everybody was swimming, right? And all those boys, they want to show their macho, right? They will show their macho muscles. And they want to show up their swimming skill. But I don't know how to swim, so I just stand on the corner and I was just watching. And guess what? Someone came behind me and he pushed me. And then I went into the swimming pool, and that was like a 2-3 times of my height.
Oh.
I believe it was like seven, eight feet. So I thought I was gonna die. I was like, I was drinking 1/3 of the swimming pool water. I almost died. And I was able to hear the murmur. And people said, "Oh, he's real. He's not faking. He doesn't know how to swim. We gotta help him." So someone came in and rescued me. Anyway, this is I got sidetracked. Whenever I see the sea, there is some kind of fear. Imagine. What movie was that? When the guy was left alone in the sea, middle of the sea, and sometimes shark comes along.
No.
The sea is spiritually meaning, okay, is death. The water has two spiritual meanings. Water is life, the living water, talking about Jesus Christ's life. But the other hand, the water talks about death. So the sea represents death. So imagine there's a huge sea and a little boat there. Now, huge sea is a representation of the world. Okay? And that little tiny boat is representation of church. So imagine this huge world, the small church is there. How lonely that is, and how there are so many fear factors around it. There's a shark and there's no water. If you don't know how to swim, if you get drowned. But praise God, Jesus appears, and he tells us today, it is I, do not fear.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And he comes along, and here's an interesting thing, right? Here's the thing, verse 28. Look at verse 28 now. This is it verse 20? Verse 20. Okay, verse 28. Yeah, go ahead, read. Tell me to come to you on the water. Now here's a Peter, and he was very fired up for the Lord. He's always in the front, right? He was very active. And Peter comes along and says, "Oh, Jesus, if it's you, Lord, then command to me, tell me." That's command, right? Command me to come to you. Now, whatever you are doing with your own effort, brothers and sisters, stop doing it. You need to wait for that sign. You need to wait for God's commandment. You need to wait for Jesus to tell you to come. There was a female pastor. This is a real story. She shared a testimony. Female pastor. And she was a woman of prayer. She has many gifted talents. And one day she said, I am no different than Peter. Peter walked on the water, then I can walk on the water. Praise the Lord. And then she was fired up. And then she went to the she went to the pond. Okay? It was quite deep. And then she said, okay, Lord, Peter walk on the road, I can walk on the road, okay? Alright, Lord, I'm ready now. I'm ready. Okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3, and she jumped. Guess what happened? She got drowned. She got she sank. And then she asked, why it didn't work with me when Peter walked on the water? Why can't I walk on the water? And the Lord said, I never told you to walk on the water. To Peter, I told him to walk on the water. But you, I didn't command to you. Hello? Do you understand? So many times, we start something for the Lord. And because this is good stuff for the Lord, we are thinking that God is happy with what I'm doing. But in fact, we have to understand, is this God's will or not? What God starts, He will back it up. And He will glorify it. Hallelujah. What I started, God will stand back, He will take His hand off, and He will watch and say, okay, let me see. So many times, we start something great for the Lord, but then we end up messing it up. So here comes Peter said, okay, Lord, if it is you, talk to me, tell me, command me to walk on the water. And Jesus says, okay, come. And then Peter comes. He got off the boat. Just put yourself now. You have to use his imagination now. Put yourself now in the Peter's shoes, okay? You are in the boat and there's a storm, okay? Storm is blowing. Now, Jesus says, come. How would you do? Don't you think it's a thrilling moment? The moment that he put his foot on the water is very thrilling, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. Oh, really? And he's trying for him to lift up his one foot and put on the water. I think that's a courage, isn't it? It's a big courage, isn't it? Now, some of you might think, ah, the scripture says later when he walked, he looked at the storm and he got stuck, he sunk, right? And then Jesus said, you have little faith, and you might think, ah, Peter had little faith. But can you get out of the boat and walk on the water? I'm talking about there's storms everywhere. Can you walk it? I want to give credit to Peter that Jesus said it's a little faith, but when I look at it, it wasn't a little faith. It was a great faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, Christian life is exciting. Because God is God of supernatural. Meaning we can experience supernatural things in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. God is beyond natural and He can do all things. Amen? Isn't it the fact that you can walk on the water is thrilling? It's, right? It's excited? And I believe you can live a life of thrill. You can live a life of excitement. Amen? Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, next. Now, verse 30, let's read together. When he saw the wind. Now, problem comes when he saw the wind. Now, when his eyes were fixed with Jesus Christ, and he let his foot out of the boat and then walk on the water, but when he saw the wind, that's the one problem occurs. Now, what you see is what you get. It is very important what you see. Brothers and sisters, what are you seeing these days? What are you watching? What are you seeing? Where your eyes are fixed at? Because that's what you're going to get. Now, let me tell you something. Now, as soon as Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, everybody who's watching will probably think this Peter is a superstar. Isn't it? Because that moment, he was walking on the water for a few steps, right? He was walking on the water. He was a superstar. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the gift, and he filled with the supernatural stuff. He's like, whoa, I'm walking on water. And everybody was watching it. Wow, Peter, you're the man. You're the hero. You're a superstar, isn't it? But be careful when you're a superstar. Be careful, because one wrong look of the storm, you will sink. It doesn't matter you pray 10 hours a day. It doesn't matter you have a gift of fasting. Fasting 3 days a week. I'm not good with fasting. That's not my gift. It doesn't matter what gift you have, what talents you have, what knowledge you have of the Bible, but one wrong look you're sick. It's that simple. We can never boast of our own self. We have to rely and depend on God 24 hours, 7 days.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, we need to call on His name all the time.
Amen.
Because if we don't, we will, just one sidetrack, looking at the storm, we will sink. Oh, praise the Lord, that we cannot live without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need Jesus continuously.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you agree? Tell somebody, you need Jesus.
You need Jesus.
Tell somebody, you need Jesus more than you think.
Amen.
You understand that? Tell somebody one more time. You need Jesus more than you think.
You need Jesus more than you think.
More than you think.
Yeah.
More than you think.
Hallelujah.
More than I think.
Yeah. Look at this now. Genesis 3:6. Important lesson to learn from Genesis 3:6. Ready? Begin. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now the misery of the history of human started when Eve saw the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You see, scripture says, when the woman saw. It is very important what you see. I pray that you will see Jesus every time you come to church. I pray that you will see Jesus when you, every time you open the Bible.
Amen.
I pray that you will see Jesus every time you pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to see Jesus from our spirit. We have to feel Jesus in our spirit. If we don't see Jesus, how can we believe Him? Look at John 6:40. Read it together. Begin. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. This is the will of Father. This is the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Will of God? To, for everyone to see the Son. To see Jesus. Well, I pray that God will have mercy today. That your spiritual eyes will be opened. That you will see Jesus in your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. Now, next point, verse 31. Verse 31. Let's read it together. Begin. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. Now, when Peter was sinking, because he got sidetracked, when he saw the storm, he was sinking, right? And what did he say? Do you remember the previous scripture? Yeah, verse 30 says, Lord, help me. As soon as he said, Lord, help me, Jesus immediately reached out his hand. Listen, Jesus Christ is ready to help you immediately.
Amen.
Now, he's ready to help you.
Amen.
If you say to him, Lord, help me.
Amen.
Do you understand? You have to tell Jesus how much you need help. You need to tell Jesus, express your desperation, your thirstiness, your hunger. When you come before God with pouring spirit. Everybody say pouring spirit.
Pouring spirit.
You empty your spirit.
Empty.
Even yesterday's great revelation, when you come before God, you empty, make a blank, blank page. When you come to God, make a blank page. And say, God, I need you. Fill me with your spirit and blessings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you have so many stuff in your head, I'm telling you, listen to me. If you have so many stuff, already so much stuff in your head, your knowledge, your experience, your concept, how can God bless you? If the cup is not empty, how can God fill it up? When you come before God, make sure your cup is empty. Make sure your spirit is poured. That you're ready to be filled with Himself, with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, next point. Let's go to verse 31. Ready together. Begin. You of little faith, he said.
Why did you doubt?
I want to challenge you today to have a great faith. To have what?
Great faith.
Great faith is to believe Jesus Christ as He is. Don't believe the word as it is. God says it, I believe it, and it settles it. And we know that there's a person in the Bible called Centurion, and he had great faith that Jesus Christ was proud of him. Okay, Matthew 8:8, let's read together. Begin. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Amen. His servant was seriously ill and suffering, and the centurion said, I don't deserve you to come under my roof. Just say the word. If you believe Jesus Christ, His word as it is, the word of God will accomplish its purpose. The word of God will never return void. You believe it, you say it, and you claim it. And the word will work mightily, wonderfully in your life. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Let's read together. Begin. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. Amen. Oh, there's a how the time of prophecy is so important. We believe and we speak. What you speak is what you believe in. Hallelujah. We need to open our mouth and we need to prophesy Jesus Christ. Amen. Speak for Jesus, speak forth Jesus, and provide Jesus into other believers. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, next part. And this is my favorite part here. Verse 32. Ready? Begin. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. The wind what?
Died down.
Brothers and sisters, there's a storm in your life. There's a wind in your life. But it will die down.
Yes, sir.
It will not last forever.
Amen.
It will not last too long.
Yes,
soon you will die down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 But when did that when the wind die down? When did the wind die down? When? When Jesus and Peter came into the boat. Now what is the boat? I said it earlier. What is the boat? It's church. It's the body of Christ. The safest place in the world is not the sea. It's not the world. It's in the boat, inside the boat.
Amen.
It's in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Although to live a Christian life and church life is a narrow road, and it sometimes it's a lonely road, because the whole world is against it. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
There's great and large sea, and one little boat is there. It's like our church, a little boat. We are sometimes lonely, and the whole world is against it.
Sure.
But praise God, we have brothers and sisters and we can count on.
Amen.
Because we have brothers. Listen, we're not lonely.
Amen.
In the midst of trials and difficulties, listen, we have brothers, therefore we can
comfort
each other. We can encourage each other.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now this is a climax. This is the conclusion of my message. Very important now. I want you to, okay, just give me a few more minutes. It's very important. Now I want to tell you something here, okay? When Jesus Christ came with Peter, came into the boat, everything changed. The storm stopped. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, the safest place in the world is in the body. It's in church. As long as you are in the boat, no matter how big the sea is, no matter how big shark is going everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Shark is looking to harm you, to destroy you. But if you are in the boat, you're safe. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is there.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is there.
Amen.
Whatever Jesus is, that's the safest place.
Amen.
Whatever Jesus is, that's heaven.
Yes,
oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you are, the five-star hotel or the million-dollar fancy palace. If Jesus is not there, it's not safe. There is no pleasure. There is no satisfaction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I want to tell you something. The brotherhood we have in Christ is not just a mere brother like the world. Like the secular world, they also call brother. Right? Hey, brother, my brother, you know. My brother, you know. You know what I'm talking about? They have that brotherhood in the world. But our brotherhood in Christ is far, far better and far, far more meaningful. And I will tell you something, because our brotherhood was established in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right? Now look at Luke chapter 22, verse 20. Look at this verse now. Okay? Ready? Begin. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Amen. Now you have to understand there's an old covenant and new covenant. Everybody say, old covenant?
Old covenant.
New covenant.
New covenant.
The old covenant is the Old Testament, new covenant is the New Testament. Mm. And old covenant was there for temporary reason. Okay? But when Jesus Christ came, he established a new covenant, and that new covenant lasts forever. Look at this, Hebrews 13:20. Okay, begin. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, look at that, right there. Blood of the what? What kind of covenant? Okay, listen. Jesus Christ made this new covenant with you with his blood. And that covenant cannot be broken by men or by angels or by demons. That covenant God made established with you in the blood of Jesus Christ is eternal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you getting me?
Amen.
Okay? The brothership we have each other in the blood of Jesus Christ, it lasts forever. It's eternal. No one can break it.
Amen.
No one can break it.
Amen.
Nor not angels, nor demons. Nobody can break the covenant that has been established by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ, it means the life of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Listen. Open your ears. Open your heart. Listen to me. Every time I perform the marriage, the wedding, I did about 20-some couples. I'm quite a young pastor, but I performed many wedding. And then every time I do that, I make sure that husband and wife understand this part. Because in this day, there are so many divorces. The family is being destroyed. And why is that? I think one of the reasons is because they do not understand this truth. That when they get married, they don't get married by the contract. Contract can be broken anytime.
Yes, sir.
I like you, you like me, we get married, and all of a sudden, as we live out some life and years have passed, and I got bored with you and I don't like you anymore, therefore I break it, divorce, bye-bye. Oh. That's a contract. And in the Bible, there is no contract. In the Bible, it talks about covenant.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this covenant is established with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And God cannot break this covenant because it has been sealed with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
It has been sealed with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, and you get married, listen, you are being married with the covenant of God.
Amen.
Because God said, when God put together husband and wife together, no man can break it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
No man can break it. Because it's covenantal relationship.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God made covenant with Abraham. And God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a great nation. No one can break the covenant. And to fulfill that covenant, Jesus Christ came. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he died on the cross. He shed his precious blood. Now we are in a covenantal relationship. This body of Christ, if you're a believer, this body of Christ, we are one body and no one can break it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Mark is here. He's from Israel recently. And I haven't seen much. I haven't really spent much time. He's only been here in 2 weeks, right? These are 2 weeks. But because Jesus is inside of him, and I have Jesus in my spirit, and we are brotherhood in Christ, in the blood of Jesus. This means we are going to be brother forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are brother forever.
Amen.
Even if he leaves tomorrow to go back to Israel, we are brother forever.
Amen.
That means we are going to spend eternity in the heart of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Therefore, we treat our brothers and sisters like we treat like Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Because Jesus is in my brother, I respect him. I honor him. I take care of him. Because Jesus is in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I treat him same as I treat Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You cannot treat Jesus and treat brother differently.
That's true.
And you and I, the brothers who's sitting next to you, they are your brothers and sisters made with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And therefore we are small. The world is huge. We are small, but we can be countable with each other.
Yes,
because of my brother, I am strong.
Amen.
Because of my brother, I'm happy.
Yes, sir.
I'm comforted. I'm encouraged. I'm strengthened because of my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is kind of brothers and sisters that God wants us to be.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Although we are small little boats in the huge sea, and shark is everywhere. But we don't have to worry about it because we have Jesus and we have brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 This is a kind of the quality of the kind of quality relationship that I desire for each small groups. Are you getting me? Are you getting God's heart? We have small group meetings, right? We started not long ago. But this is a kind of heart that God has for you. Not just the, hey, how are you? Fine, thank you. And you okay? Not just this kind of superficial relationship, but I'm talking about real brotherhood.
Oh, Jesus.
Real brotherhood in Christ with blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If I don't see my brother here and he's my brother, then I gotta what? Check out whether he's okay or not. In your small group, you exercise that love. Amen.
Amen.
In your small group. When he's going through some trials and problems, let's go after them and comfort them, pray for them, pray with them. Where do you find this kind of love? In the world? No. Only in Christ. Only in the body of Christ.
Amen.
I pray our church will become like that.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters can be accountable. Amen.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus. Matthew 16:18 says, let's read together, begin. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Amen.
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 I'll talk to somebody. You're my brother. And no one can overcome us. No one can destroy our relationship. No one can destroy the church. You're my brother. You're my sister. I'm in you and you are in me. Christ is in you and Christ is in us.
Christ is in you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But so, you know, I pray that all of you become like a Peter.
Amen.
You become Peter, you know, because if you take risk for the Lord, oh Lord, if it's you, command me to come walk on the water. I pray that you be like that. And as you risk yourself to come out of the comfort zone, which is the boat, you come out of the comfort zone and walk on the water, and guess what? You brought the presence of Jesus into the boat, isn't it? The result of Peter walking on the water resulted what? Brought Jesus' presence into the boat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you risk for Jesus Christ, if you demonstrate your faith, guess what? You bring the presence of Jesus Christ into our church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need to risk our life for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do not satisfy where you are. You need to pursue more. You need to strive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, more, greater risk, greater experience of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Last point. Maybe this is the last point. This is a wonderful point too. Verse 33, read it together. Begin.
Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God.
So, the disciples in the boat, when Jesus Christ came, right, saw everything what happened. Jesus was walking on the water, and he had such authority, such a power, and he says, it is I, don't be afraid.
Oh.
And he talked to the wind. He rebuked the wind, the storm, right? Stop. You know, the wind and the storm represent of the evil spirit. He commanded, stop. I'm going to stop. Now, when the disciples saw that, they say, what? They were saying, what? They worship him. You have to look at this carefully now. Worship Jesus, right? By how? By how? Did they bow before Jesus on the boat? Maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe the boat was too small to bow down.
I said,
I don't think they like will literally bow down. It doesn't matter if you literally bow down or not. But there's an important point here. They worship Jesus by what?
Sing.
By what?
Sing.
Do you see that? By what?
By singing.
By singing it. Oh, how important the ministry of the prophecy is.
Amen.
Do you see the point here? Amen.
Amen.
They didn't just thought about it. Jesus, you're great. They didn't just think about it. No, they say it. They open their mouth and they say, truly, you are the Son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you will be saved.
Amen.
Church, open your mouth and call on His name. Open your mouth and prophesy. Speak for Jesus.
Amen.
Speak for
Jesus.
Jesus. Let Jesus in your spirit be released.
Amen.
Let Jesus in you come out.
Amen.
Don't hide Jesus in you. You need to let Jesus go out.
Amen.
Express Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, brothers and sisters, you and I, we were created as the vessels of God's mercy. We need to contain God. And when we contain God, God wants to be expressed. God wants to be demonstrated. God wants to be shown through you. Amen.
Amen.
And the world is waiting to see Jesus, the Son of God.
Amen.
The world wants to see the truth, the way, the life, who is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you are that mouthpiece. And you are that instrument. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So don't be afraid. Say it. Amen.
Amen.
Say it. The demon, the devil, the evil spirit, they will hear your prophecy. And they will shudder. They will go away.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The hopeless and helpless people in the world, they will hear your prophecy and they will come alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not only that, when you prophesy according to scripture, what does it say? What is that scripture now? Last scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Look at this. What is this? Let's read it together. Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. But he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to men. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but he who prophesies builds up the church. I desire that you all speak in tongues, but especially that you would prophesy, and greater is he who prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets that the church may receive building up. Through your prophecy, church will be built up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Next week, come ready to speak prophecy.
Amen.
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 That's how you build this church. That's how you glorify the Lord. Your main ministry is prophecy. That's evangelism. That's sharing Jesus. That's shepherding. Shepherding other people, right? You're teaching the word of God. That's prophecy. That is our ministry. Hallelujah. What fear do you have? Remember, it's under the feet of Jesus. Hold the hand of Jesus today and walk on the water. The water full of death and fear and anger and anxieties, it is all under the feet of Jesus. Together with Jesus, walk on the water and soar on the wings with Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
To forget the past? Okay? To overcome the fear, overcome all anxieties, and soar on wings with Jesus Christ this afternoon. Are you ready?
Amen.
You're ready? Let's stand together. Sing this song. Let's sing this song, Hide Me Now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, hide us now under your wings. Cover with your mighty hand.